May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hodie Christus natus est, began the old Latin Christmas acclamation. Today, Christ is born. Alleluia! Indeed, Christ is born. Some 2,000 years ago, in or just outside the town of Bethlehem, in the hill country of the Roman province of Judea, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Bethlehem itself is interesting. Situated along an ancient caravan route, Bethlehem has harbored a melting pot of peoples and cultures since its beginning. Most appropriate for the birthplace of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of all nations. Known as the City of David, it was indeed the city in which David was born, and in which he was called from among the sheepfolds to become king over Israel. Even then, there was a connection with shepherds. And it is interesting that he who is called the Good Shepherd, and whose advent was hailed by shepherds, was born in the same town as the shepherd king, David. God seems to appreciate both symmetry and foreshadowing. And of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is of the house and lineage of David, both legally through his foster father Joseph and naturally through his mother, the ever-blessed Virgin Mary. Finally, Bethlehem means house of bread. What could be more appropriate as the birthplace of him who said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The deeper one delves, the more signs and symbols one finds attached to this most significant event in human history, the incarnation of God's own creative Word. For this was not merely the birth of an earthly king, but of the King of Kings. Not merely of a teacher, but of the teacher. Not merely the Savior of Israel from the power and might of Rome, but the Savior of the world from the might of Satan, sin, and death. This was the seminal event in all human history. St. John Chrysostom was a 4th century Archbishop of Constantinople, a father and doctor of the church, and a preacher of uncommon eloquence, zeal, and clarity. Indeed, his name, Chrysostom, means the golden-tongued. Of the Feast of the Nativity of Christ, which we are celebrating, he wrote, "If one were to call it the metropolis of all feasts, one would not be wrong." What is it? It is the birth of Christ according to the flesh. In this feast, the Epiphany, Easter, the Ascension, and Pentecost have their beginning and purpose. For if Christ had not been born according to the flesh, he would not have been baptized at Epiphany. He would not have been crucified and resurrected as at Easter. He would not have ascended into heaven, and he would not have sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost. So from this event, as from a certain spring different rivers flow, all these feasts of ours are born. The Nativity, the Incarnation, is the event that precedes and makes possible all the other events that lead to our salvation. Without it, the redemption we have been offered in Christ would not have been possible. And what an incredible act of self-giving and sacrifice it is. The Creator of life itself condescended to be born of a human woman. The Maker of the entire cosmos, eons of time and countless light years of space, was willing to be found in human form, as St. Paul says in Philippians, and to live and die as to the flesh over a period of 33 earthly years in a backwater region of the Roman Empire. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And he was willing to do it all for us. Finite, limited, and all too fallible mortal human beings, petulant and arrogant, pugilistic and ornery as we too often are, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. For us, for our sins. This is really quite amazing when you think about it, that the Creator of all creation would become man for our sakes, miserable sinners that we are, and not only live among us, but actually die for us in the flesh, is something that is difficult to wrap our minds around, or at least it is for me. When I think about it, it is not hard, or it is hard not to drop to my knees in humility, in awe, and in a keen and heartbreaking awareness of my own abject unworthiness. The words of the English poet laureate John Betjeman have always been particularly meaningful to me since I first heard them many years ago. He was an Anglican and a high church Anglican, I might add, and he wrote in his poem Christmas what is probably the single passage outside of the Holy Scriptures itself that most perfectly captures the essence of my own faith. And perhaps you will find it meaningful too. No love that in the family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this simple truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, St. John tells us, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God for this greatest gift of all, to whom be ascribed all honor and glory, majesty and power, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and forevermore. Amen.